I congratulate the President-elect Donald Trump. And if possible, we will work with his administration. But we will not compromise our values or our integrity or our principles. We did not expect this result, but we are prepared to respond to this result. And my office has been preparing for several months because we've been here before. We faced this challenge before, and we use the rule of law to fight back. And we are prepared to fight back once again. Because as the Attorney General of this great state, it is my job to protect and defend the rights of New Yorkers and the rule of law. And I will not shrink from that responsibility. You see, between 2019 and 2021, the Office of the Attorney General took, we took nearly 100 legal actions against previous Trump administration.
Adam, you can end when she says just about 10 seconds ago or 15 seconds, she said once again.
Of New Yorkers and the rule of law. And I will not shrink from that responsibility.
Well, that was the estimable Letitia James, who has been on a warpath. She actually ran for office as AG of New York City, saying she was going to take down Donald Trump. That was her platform. Last I looked, that was kind of like illegal. I mean, when you are the AG, justice is supposed to be blind. You're supposed to represent all the people. You are not elected to get one person, and yet that was the whole premise. And so she is part of the deep left. I can tell you that. You should hear some of the things that she says. I believe Letitia leans to the like the socialist leftist, maybe say the C word, communist part of her party. And she's not willing to give it up yet. She has stated that she's going to keep on fighting. So I'm surprised she gave the concession, that the tiny little hint of it that she did. But of course, she's going to be after him and after all of us. New York State actually, you know, almost went for Donald Trump. I think he lost it. I think he lost by something like 11 points, which is better than any Republican has done, I think, since Ronald Reagan. So New Yorkers felt differently this time, and that's part of why, of course, President Trump won the popular vote by so many million. So we're going to talk today about justice, about what's going to happen with all of these cases. You've heard something about it. You know that Jack Smith has dropped the cases against President Trump, but there are other cases. And what's going to happen with these people that have been prosecuted and put in prison? What about the J6ers? What about the prisoners in Leavenworth who were put in there during the Obama administration because of a change in rules of engagement? And they actually killed people on the battlefield and then were charged with murder. So it's complicated. We may not get to all of those things, but we are going to welcome Mike Davis, who's been our guest many, many times. Mike is one of the leading voices in defense of President Trump, and we'll get into that when we talk to him. But first, you can call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media. We're on Telegram, and YouTube has videos. I don't post the show on it because I'm not on video. And if you want to know why, it's because I'm too lazy to get dressed and makeup on every time I do a podcast. That's the truth. It's just too hard to do. And I, you know, when you do radio or podcasting, I've been doing it for many years. I pull my hair out. I use a pencil. I do whatever I need to do to get the job done. And I don't necessarily think you want to watch that. So anyway, but if you go to YouTube, you'll find television interviews I've done. And hopefully you'll enjoy that. It's a kind of an addendum. Truth Social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're all on all of those. And if President Trump has his way, God willing, they'll all be free speech platforms pretty soon. We hope for that. And that's what he's working toward. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform that you like, your favorite ones, Amazon or Apple or Spotify. Or, you know, you can go to Homebase, which is AFR.net, which is what many of you do who used to listen to the morning show. Or you can also go to sandyrios.com, the website, and it's real simple to listen to it that way. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives. You should hear the meltdowns they're having. I'm going to play some of those today in the show. which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers to decide between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them free ultrasound to introduce their precious babies and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. Babies, by the way, are worth fighting for. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. All right, well, this is an important show. And perhaps you won't hear things like this in other stations because we are so vested in the J6ers, as you well know. So the other thing is I'm going to play, after we talk to Mike, we're going to play some J6 family members who have taken it upon themselves to help with this pardon. They're calling it the J6 Pardon Project, and we'll talk with them in the second half of the show, in the second half of the podcast today. So sit back and, take a pencil and paper and take in this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
All right, I want to get you right to this breaking news. The criminal election interference case against President-elect Donald Trump, as predicted by many, special counsel Jack Smith is, in fact, asking a judge to pause the proceedings. Let's bring in correspondent Robert Sherman, who is live there in Palm Beach, Florida, with the very latest. Robert, what more can you tell us?
Yeah, Nicole, just a short while ago, the special counsel submitted this to the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. I'll read it for you now. It says, quote, as a result of the election held on November 5th, 2024, the defendant is expected to be certified as president-elect on January 6th, 2025, and inaugurated on January 20th, 2025. The government respectfully requests that the court vacate the remaining deadlines in the pretrial schedule to afford the government time to assess the unprecedented circumstances and determine the appropriate course going forward, consistent with Department of Justice policy. That letter goes on to say that they recognize that they're in uncharted waters here and that there are going to be deliberations taking place in the special counsel's office, and the courts will formally be notified by December 2nd as to exactly how they intend to proceed. But in the wake of the election, obviously things are changing over with the special counsel's office and how to proceed with this January 6th case.
All right, that was News Nation. And that's news to all of us. I think we've heard all of that by now, but this is pretty amazing how the wheels are coming off the bus for the left. From Trump's incredible win, it's just like shut them up for all the things they had planned. So even Jack Smith is dropping the charges. Letitia James, not so much. Well, no one in this country has fought harder on behalf of President Trump and the lawfare against him than my next guest. He's been my guest several times. You will recognize Mike Davis. He's the founder of Article 3 Project. Also, before that, he was the former chief counsel for nominations for the Senate Judiciary Committee. You will remember, maybe, that he helped usher through that horrible nomination for Brett Kavanaugh. And so remember how horrible that was. Mike was in the middle of that, pushing that thing through successfully. It was pretty amazing. Mike, welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you know what? How many interviews do you think you did during the time President Trump was being really persecuted by the legal system? Any idea?
Yeah, we've counted it up. Since the Mar-a-Lago raid on Trump 2.5 years ago, I have done over 4,200 media hits supporting and defending President Trump. I've also done constant social media constant opinion pieces from the Article 3 project. We really have been the tip of the spear. And I mean, frankly, not to toot my own horn, we changed the politics on this from a raid to get classified records was the framing to this is obviously Biden Democrat lawfare and election interference. We turned lemons into lemonade. The American people heard the so-called evidence. They heard the arguments, and they delivered their verdict on Tuesday, and they sent President Trump back to the White House in an overwhelming landslide.
Hey, listen, I would not argue with you even a tiny bit on the influence you've had, Mike. You know, because of all those interviews and because you provided so much written information, I think the understanding of the American people was most definitely, it went down deep. It finally went down and people understood. The left wasn't able to get away with what they were trying to do. And it's really a miracle. I really do think, I attribute the success mostly to God. But I think there were people that he used, and you are one of those. So Mike, there's so much we could talk about. I know that you well know people are, they want you to be Attorney General because of your tireless and relentless and unbending fight against this injustice, all the injustices, not just for President Trump. But you surprised me by what you said in your Twitter feed. You don't want to run? You don't want to be nominated for that?
I have zero. Look, as you know, Sandy, I was the chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I handled the Senate confirmations for judges, the Attorney General, Justice Department officials. I have a 0% chance of getting confirmed to anything. I would get one charity vote from my former boss, Chuck Grassley, and it would end his 65-year political career. I am very – look, I've already served in all three branches. I've served in the White House. I've served in the Justice Department. I've served for another cabinet secretary. I've worked in a U.S. Attorney's Office. I've worked in the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the Tenth Circuit, for a state. AG. I mean, I've checked every box. I am not going back into government. I am actually more useful to President Trump by continuing to be his fiercest legal defender at the Article 3 Project. We're going to be fierce advocates for Trump's judges. We're going to continue to fight back against the lawfare. And we're also going to make sure President Trump gets to pass election reform through the House and Senate. So we finally have proof of citizenship and voter ID for federal elections.
Wow. We think of that. How nice that might be. You know, did you see that map that showed that Kamala Harris, every area she won in, the few that she did, were all, there was no voter ID required? Did you see that map? It was amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing how that happens.
Yes. I want to ask you some specific questions. I know we don't have long with you. I would be interested to know who you – do you have a suggestion for Attorney General? If you're not interested, or do you dare say? I know it's complicated, and I know there are a lot of names, but do you have a favorite or even just a few favorites?
Yeah, I've said this very publicly and clearly that I think Mark Paoletta is the best pick for President Trump to be the Attorney General. He's 62 years old. He's, he has a great family. He's financially secure. He doesn't need another job. His wife is a lawyer. He's a lawyer. His kids are raised and out of the house and out of college. And he's been a warrior. He's been Justice Clarence Thomas's best friend for over 30 years. He's worked in the House as the oversight chief investigator on the Commerce Committee. He's worked for the vice president's office. He's worked for the president. In the counsel's office, he's been the general counsel of the Office of Management and Budget. He knows Congress, the executive branch, and the courts inside and out. I think he's the perfect pick. He will be bold and fearless. He'll follow the law, and he's not a politician. He's not young. He's not worried about his next job, and that's exactly who we need as Attorney General.
You know, I didn't know you were going to say that. For somehow, I missed you saying that about Mark. I have a clip I want to play that I'm sure you've heard this. This is clip 9, Adam. Let's listen to a little bit of Mark Paoletta against Hakeem Jeffries. Let's listen.
The Paoletta, you've echoed a similar sentiment. I think your quote is, many on the left hate Justice Thomas because he is a black conservative who has never bowed to those who demand that he must think a certain way because of the color of his skin. What evidence do you have to support that incendiary charge?
When Chairman Benny Thompson calls him an Uncle Tom because of his views on voter ID and affirmative action, when in fact more Black Americans support voter ID and with respect to affirmative action in college education, they're 62% opposed to it. So that is the most vile, disgusting thing you can say. And so, yes, that's the evidence I just gave you.
Reclaiming my time.
Yes.
There are a lot of vile, disgusting things that can be
said. Well, you just asked me for an example.
The notion that is, right, when some members on this side of the aisle and others have been called the N-word throughout different points of our life belies the point that you have a particular bias. And it's an overstatement, which is not surprising when you look at the balance of your testimony. And if Chairman Benny Thompson has an observation to make, he's entitled to free speech. You apparently believe that Jenny Thomas, regardless of how many conflicts she has, is entitled to her own political opinions as well.
Can I give you another example?
No.
Sorry, I had to play that. That's another word salad. He's good at word salads too, Mike.
That clip right there, Sandy, proves why Mark Paoletta is the perfect pick to serve as Trump's attorney general or White House counsel, either one. He's bold. He's fearless. He's going to follow the law. And he doesn't give a damn what people think about him.
Okay, one other issue I want to, really important to me, Mike, I have spent a lot of time this last 4 years, I guess, almost four, on the J6ers. And I think, you know, we share that same concern. And I've had a lot of dealings with them personally, a lot of interviews, and they are really, really so excited about getting a pardon from President Trump. He has promised them, really. He said publicly several times he will pardon them. So I want to know, as an attorney who knows the weeds here, can he do that? And what kind of a pardon do you think he would give? And how long would it take to do that? I know those are big questions, but just give it your best shot here.
So the president has plenary power to pardon anyone he wants for any federal crime. These January 6th defendants, almost all of them should be pardoned on day one because they were politically persecuted, as the Supreme Court made clear in the Fisher ruling back in June. Moreover, you can't have selective prosecution. And we had that under the Biden-Harris Justice Department, where they threw the full force of the federal government after Trump supporters on January 6th and gave amnesty to BLM and Antifa rioters, who were a heck of a lot more destructive and deadly than what happened on January 6th. And for the remaining defendants who don't get pardons, they should have their sentences commuted down to a reasonable sentence. There is nothing that happened on January 6th that calls for a 22-year prison sentence for anyone. It is ridiculous. The D.C. Uniparty went overboard. They violated these defendants' constitutional rights. They must be pardoned or commuted, and there must be accountability for what happened.
Wow, amen and amen to that. Now, just one last question. Mike, there are a lot of different kinds of pardons, and I know this because I've actually gotten acquainted with, there's some J6ers who are, you know, the families have actually become expert on a lot of what's happening with the J6ers and done a lot of research, and so many of them have been working on this whole pardon thing, and the fact that there are different kinds of pardons, and I don't know what they are, I can't say that to you, you do, but would these pardons be of the type that would expunge their record so they'd have a clean record? Because these guys, their lives have been shattered. Their business is gone. Their family's gone. It is one of the worst. I can hardly stand it, to be honest with you, Mike. So do you think those pardons would expunge their record?
Yes, it should. I mean, a pardon should completely clean their record as if the crime never happened.
Well, so do you think President Trump's going to do that?
I hope so. I mean, he said that on the campaign trail, and I have no reason to believe he's not going to follow through. He should. What happened on January 6th was a lawful protest that was permitted by the National Park Service. It devolved into a riot. And to lump everyone together on January 6th and say that they're insurrectionists, even though there's zero evidence of insurrection. No one was charged with insurrection, and try to ruin these people's lives because of their political viewpoint is unacceptable.
Amen and amen. And I just pray for that day. So, Mike, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your time, every moment of it. And hopefully we can stay in touch. And I kind of actually am glad you're going to stay on the outside, because I actually personally understand how beneficial that is. That's what I did many years ago, too. It gives you a lot more freedom, and you can do a lot more help, and a lot more. You can hurt a lot of bad people and help a lot of good people by doing that. So God bless you. It's Article 3 Project. You can always use, Mike can always use help, because he's got some great staff, but they have to be paid by someone. So what's the website, Mike, if they would like to give to your Article 3 Project?
Yeah, we're going to continue to strongly support Trump on judges, lawfare, election reform. It's Article 3Project.org, Article 3Project.org. You can donate there, you can follow us on social media, and you can take action.
Okay, excellent. All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way for preborn. Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000, I know that's a lot, but some of you, it's not a lot to you, will place an ultrasound machine in a needy women's center, saving countless babies for years to come. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, next up, when we were in Texas with a lot of J6ers for the 1A Film Fest, by the way, you can actually get on now. You can get all those movies. It's the 1A Film Fest. And as I've told you before, it took some time to get them all together. They are volunteers, and this is a massive job. But don't think for a second that the movies are anything less than absolutely wonderful. They're really well done. You're not going to be watching amateur movies. They're great. So it's the 1A Film Fest, and it's well worth your time. All right, so when we were there, among the interviews I did was one with a woman named Suzanne Monk, who has family and friends who are J6ers, and she and others have made it their work for the last several years to figure out or to suggest, provide documents and names and sentences, sentencing for all the J6ers to present to President Trump when he starts to think about pardons for them, what they suggest he might consider. And so I did a long discussion with Suzanne about that, and here it is. All right, Sandy Rios with you. And I'm here with Suzanne Monk. We are again at this Texas, beautiful Texas theater at the 1A Film Festival event. It's just absolutely been wonderful. And today we were watching all kinds of movies. But Suzanne has a different thing to share. Suzanne is the founder of the J6 Pardon Project, and she's actually penned this book called How to Pardon the J6ers, a comprehensive strategy guide for President Donald J. Trump. Okay, so Suzanne, what is your connection with J6? I mean, what made you even intersect with the people of J6?
I actually have been very close with all of the Proud Boys, as well as many of the other activists that came to D.C. on January 6th that day. So I had people who were immediately getting put behind bars. And the year before that, I had launched Reopen America on day two of the shutdown. So throughout that year, I was pushing back against the mandates. Come the spring of that year, I started to realize they were using those mandates in the prisons to basically implement torture tactics against not just the J6ers, but other inmates as well. And so those two things merged for me. You know, the COVID protocols and the tyranny, the COVID tyranny really became the J6 tyranny for me. And since then, since, you know, spring of 2021, in fact, I say January 7th of 2021, I have been fighting for justice for now it's going to be over 1,500 January 6ers who have been arrested.
Had you had experience with pardons and the nature of them and how to go about them?
No, we're all law-abiding citizens on this side of the aisle, right? We rarely have to address many of these issues with regards to our prison system. And in fact, that's one of the things that so many J6ers say over and over, that it has been such a wake-up call to the dilapidated and just torturous, inhumane system we have called the Bureau of Prisons. So, no, I was not informed. And in fact, I didn't know a lot about what the pardoning process would require. In November of last year, when I was talking to my dear friend Zachary Real, one of the Proud Boys, on Core Links, like we do, from inside, and he was telling me he's looking forward to Trump getting elected and being able to pardon them, everybody can be home by February, and I started to get that feeling in my stomach that maybe I should look into the process and figure out what it really took. And that's when I began a four-month investigation into the process and began to realize that it was much more detailed, that we were looking at, Trump was looking at perhaps the largest pardoning effort since the Civil War in order to pardon the J6ers, and that the DOJ, Sandy, has already put in place many pitfalls, many landmines for these J6ers after Trump is elected, that they are going to try to make sure that he is unable to do the full job, as I say, because we are advocating for all January 6ers to receive presidential clemency, because I have yet, in my review of these cases, found one where due process has not been denied.
Boy, that's the truth. You don't have to convince me of that, because I've followed it enough to know I don't think there's anybody who's gotten justice. Anybody. And so,
I'll give an example of that, because, you know, we talk, there's a broad range of January 6ers. From people like, you know, Jaleese and Mark Middleton of American Patriot Relief, who were literally praying at the Capitol and were they themselves assaulted, to folks like my friend Dominic Pozzolo, one of the Proud Boys who helped break an already broken window, to people like Ray Epps and John Sullivan, who have radical left, have actions that day that are very questionable. But even Ray Epps, He received one charge.
Ray Epps is the very big guy in the crowd who was filmed, I think, three different times telling people to go into the Capitol on January 5th and then January the 6th.
That is correct.
And then by the fence, the first fence that went down to let people into the Capitol, he's whispering in a guy's ear who then goes over and takes the fence down. So that's Ray Epps.
When I was watching the Proud Boys trial, I would make a joke. I saw Ray Epps more than I saw my husband because he was in the footage every single time at every breach point where my friends were being charged and accused. There's Ray Epps.
But, of course, he wasn't charged.
No, he was charged. And this is the point I'm making. Oh. Ray Epps received one charge of 1752. 18 U.S.C. 1752 is the charge knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted area. Now, Sandy, nobody that day could have possibly entered knowingly into a restricted area. The signs were torn down. The barricades were removed. They did not make the announcements. We have the Big Voice in D.C., which is a specific tool designed to address large crowds to disperse them. That was not deployed. The Capitol Police did not meet the legal standard of informing people the area was restricted. So even Ray Epps could not have committed 18 U.S.C. 1752. They gave him 6 months for that. Now, other people have gotten 2 years. But that's what the DOJ is doing. They are using these weaponized charges in a way that they can apply them, and they can apply them arbitrarily. They can give you 6 months, or they can seek those upper sentence levels of 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. So, frankly, Ray Epps needs clemency for that charge because it was wrongly used. That is what our system is. If the charge is misused, that's not justice, but he does need to be held accountable. So one of the things we've advised the president to do is to have different styles of pardons. There, of course, is a traditional pardon, a full and unconditional pardon, which prevents any future charges for whatever the crime is. We are asking President Trump to use the pardon of innocence, as he did for General Flynn, if you're familiar with that, which would be historic at a level this large, because only one pardon of innocence has been issued at the federal level. We're actually asking him to use it like governors do and expunge the criminal record with that pardon of innocence. It would be historic, but it's something very common at the state level, so very possible. But the third option is what's called an absolute and unconditional pardon, and that is a pardon that pardons only the charges and allows for future charges. So for folks like Ray Epps, John Sullivan, some of the other individuals that we know probably committed acts that day that deserve prosecution, but they need to be just charges. They need to be accurate charges. They can't be misapplied, weaponized charges. And so I've tried to put in this book, we've tried to create a strategy. I worked with Tamara Lee from the Pardon Flynn Now Project. We tried to create a strategy that would be able to provide the president options so that he can do what is right by the law. We need consistency in our response to the law. If due process was denied, it needs to be denied for each and every person. But he needs to make sure that justice can be done, and that's one of the reasons we put together a comprehensive strategy so he has those tools.
Suzanne, do you have connections with anyone in his orbit?
We've been working very, very hard on that. I'm actually really proud of the folks we've been able to reach out to. Currently, right now, Laura Trump, Michael Whatley both have a copy of this book. Mary Flynn, General Flynn, 5 members of Congress, Keith Self, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Chip Roy, Eric Burleson, and Corey Mills all have a copy of this book. And many, many others, including journalists and advocates that we have reached out to. The goal and the idea is, obviously, I'd love to hand a copy directly to the president myself. And I have heard he's seen it. But until I'm handing it to him, I'm not gonna say that. But what we want to make sure is that all the people around him and the public, the general public, as we know President Trump is very responsive to his voters, that they are giving that call for justice, and that we are using that language of due process was denied, and so justice needs to be done for all. And so building that conversation is the third component. We started this book. The strategy guide was our first component. Secondly, we are building a database of every single January 6th defendant on 22 points of data that we will be able to hand to the administration so that homework is done. Because I know that's a huge amount of work.
Of course, yes.
And if he starts on day one, it's going to be months before even just the research is done. So we're doing that for him. And that third component is to give him the support, the public mandate to get the job done. And that's what we've been grinding on all year, and I think we're making real progress.
I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm going to ask. I've heard him say, in various ways that he wants to pardon the J6ers. Do you know how specific he's been? I mean, are you guys tracking his actual words? Because I'm not, and I don't know how confident can we be?
He has made that promise many times, and what I will say in the last couple months, he has been more assertive with that. You know, one of his most prolific statements was at the Libertarian National Convention, where he not only mentioned that he intends to pardon J6ers, but other political prisoners, and said that he wanted to start a political prisoner task force, which I encourage the president to do immensely. Because as I've started this project, Sandy, what I'm finding is that other political prisoners have started to reach out to me. You know, folks, obviously, who are being charged for the FACE Act, you know, pro-lifers who are being abused. But even folks from before... Well, you know, before the stolen election, there's a man named John Woods who was the first state senator to endorse President Trump back in 2016, and he was basically thrown under the bus by his people in his state for FEC violations, and they all walked off free, and he's doing 16 years. Mm-hmm. So he was targeted as a supporter of President Trump, and that's been going on since 2016. There are people rotting in jail right now we don't know about.
Well, I'm thinking also about the prisoners that are in Leavenworth in Colorado, and who Barack Obama's administration sent them there because of rules of engagement, and they were charged with crimes on the battlefield. It's just, it's a horrendous story. I've covered it, but not enough.
Yeah.
So how about them? Could they be potentially?
Definitely. And that's what I have said, and I will make this statement. I want President Trump to be the most pardoningest president in the history of the country, because what we have witnessed in the last, it's escalated really in the last few years, but for the last decades, you know, 2-3 decades now, we have watched a decay of the justice system in our country, where we have went from a point where you had at least a hope of a fair chance. But even before we get to January 6th and the politicization of our Department of Justice, the conviction rate was 97%. So what that means, if you are federally charged with a crime, there is only a 3% chance you get to walk out of that courtroom unconvicted. So we already have the thumb of tyranny on those scales of justice so hard. And then you add this political weaponization, and we're now at 99.5% conviction rates.
Yeah, and this is exactly what our founding fathers didn't want. This is tyranny.
Yeah, they gave us a remedy for this, and they were very specific, and that's one of the things that the Pardon Project is based on. Our founders knew that even our own government, even a very well-regulated government, can be corrupted. And so they put in the Constitution that check and balance to the Justice Department, to the legal system, and that is presidential clemency. The president has a very broad authority, and not just authority, but a duty to be that final check. If justice cannot be done in the courts, if it cannot be done in the appeals, if we get all the way up to the Supremes and it still can't get done, the founders had a very clear remedy for that, and that is presidential clemency. And so we need President Trump to pardon these J6ers as well as other political prisoners, because right now our justice system is defunct. We do not have justice for all, but the founders gave us a tool to get back to that, and we need the president to use it.
Well said. Very well said. Suzanne, if people would like to get this book, how could they get that?
I have made it available for a free download on the website, j6pardonproject.com.
Okay.
And you can go there and download a copy for free. What we're asking people to do is read it and share it, especially with your elected officials, your Congress members, your senators, your state elected officials. And here's why. Number one, President Trump is going to need political support from his allies to do this job. He is going to need support in Congress to do things like finance the restitution funds that will need to be given to these J6ers who are being bankrupted to the point where they will be financially devastated, not just their lifetime, but generationally, and their grandchildren. So he's going to need a strong Congress that is behind him on this. Additionally, at the state level, we're going to need governors and attorneys general that are willing to help these J6ers deal with some of the many problems that come. Even if you get a pardon, your conviction stays on your record. That's one of the things, you know, people aren't aware of. A pardon actually seals your conviction. It doesn't expunge your record. It doesn't hide it. It keeps it there for perpetuity. And you will have to put that on your gun licensing, your job applications, because you have been a convicted felon, even if you're a pardoned. So that anchor, that albatross around their neck just stays. So, you know, this is why governors are able to issue waivers. That is something that can happen on the state level, and we are going to need that for January 6ers and their January 6ers from every single state. So that's one of the reasons that we're asking people to share that, because we need that state support. But it's also one of the reasons that we're asking President Trump to use the pardon of innocence in a historic manner, much like we see governors use all across the country. The pardon of innocence is used. Say if you had DNA evidence that came out that proved you weren't completely innocent, they will use the pardon of innocence and then expunge that criminal record. And that is something that happens at the state level all the time. It has never happened at the federal level. But all of the constitutional scholars I studied say it this way. It doesn't automatically expunge the federal record, which means if the president stipulates it, it can and will happen. And that's one of the reasons we're advising these little details. These little details are going to make a world of difference. And I say in the strategy guide, it will mean the difference between getting a little bit of their life back, but struggling immensely, and their children struggling, to actually getting some kind of something close to what they were left. We're never going to get these people back to whole. We've broken their minds. We've broken their bank accounts. We've broken their lives.
Their families.
The internet is for, the internet is forever. Right. But we can get as close to getting them back on their feet as possible, and it's our duty as America to do that.
I love it. Well, who would have thought? I would not have thought of doing this. I think God must have laid this on your heart, Suzanne.
He did. Yeah. He did, and I know. And I dedicate the book to Zach Real, because it was actually, you know, our conversations back and forth that really motivated me to look into what needed to happen. And we have made this now available on Amazon. So we've made it free PDF download.
And they haven't spotted it. They're actually
they've started to. I'll add that. But we made it available on Amazon, $4.47 for 47. I made it very cheap so that we can send it in to the folks inside who are currently incarcerated. And we've sent over 46 copies in to January 6ers inside. And we are now starting to get reports that different in the Chicago facility has started confiscating it. So.
All right, so there you go. All right, well, all right, so all the more reason.
I'm angering the right people, Sandy. Yeah, I'm angering the right people.
You're over the target. Yeah. All right, Suzanne Monca, again, founder of the J6 Pardon Project. The book is How to Pardon the J6ers. You can get it at j6pardonproject.com, and you can download it. Right?
Yes, you can, and share it. And certainly just share it with your friends, your neighbors. What we really need to do is just keep having that conversation. President Trump is going to need we the people to support him in this mission. And if we are able to do that, we will not only get justice for these J6ers, but we'll get justice back for ourselves.
Oh, yes. Good. I maintain countries lose their collective mind and their sanity if there's no justice.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are. But
correct.
Suzanne Monk, j6pardonproject.com. Great idea. God bless you. And we'll see you soon, I bet. We'll
thank you, Sandy.
God bless you,
you,
Suzanne. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, you can see all the hard work. The families have suffered so much, and many of them have really made themselves expert on helping their family members because no one else would help them. And so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Suzanne. I certainly enjoyed meeting her. And I hope that you know, we can get this to President Trump and make sure that he has some help and trying to make these decisions. Meanwhile, you know, Jacob Lang is one of the people that's been incarcerated for the longest. Jake has been my guest from prison about three times in this last 3 or 4 years. And this is what he just tweeted. He said, "I'm coming home. I'm coming home. The January 6th political prisoners are finally coming home. In the mighty name of Jesus, take these shackles off my feet." In just 75 days, on January the 20th, 2025, when Donald J. Trump is inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States, he will pardon all of the J6 hostages. This day was destined to come. The Holy Spirit confirmed this moment in my heart long ago, 1,400 days ago, when I was first arrested, that my God is still the one who delivers. Do not fear, Jacob. I am still your God. This incredible journey was only possible to endure for our community of broken families, torn apart by a wicked regime of tyrants, because we walked by faith and not by sight. We were condemned by the world, the mainstream news, the J6 Select Committee, the weaponized DOJ and FBI, but God has other plans for our lives. He saw our hearts, and he knew his love would sustain us as we molded into patient warriors in the dark dungeons of 900 days in solitary confinement. He was there. My God never left my side. I was never alone. I was never forgotten. America, a new day has dawned. You have witnessed, indisputably, God's strong arm deliver his people from oppressions. I just wanted you to hear that because Jacob is one that would not recant. He would not say that the 2020 election was not stolen. He has so much courage, and I wanted you to hear that. And now maybe Jacob and the rest of them will actually be free. When that happens, we're going to do another show on that because I'll be walking on the moon when that happens as well. So let's pray for them and pray that President Trump keeps his promise. I think he will. He keeps his promises. I think he'll keep this one. Well, I want to thank our sponsors, especially Timothy Plan, that allows you to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.